There's something deeply unsettling about dark water. Not oceans, not crashing waves, not storms at sea. I mean rivers. Ancient rivers. The kind that move slowly through endless forests, carrying secrets beneath the surface where nobody can see them. Because rivers don't just travel through land. They travel through history. And few rivers in America carry more stories than Pennsylvania's Susquehanna. Welcome in to the Ominous Archives. Welcome back to the Archives. I'm Em.
And I'm Nick. So, I had a thing, because you were talking about how rivers don't just go through land, they travel through history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was quoted by somebody else way more famous, but I believe a little snowman says water holds memories.
A little snowman.
Yeah, Olaf.
I knew who you were talking about.
I figured you did the way you looked at me.
I absolutely knew who you were talking about.
I guess I had to clarify for the
listeners. Just in case you guys didn't know.
But yeah. So water has memory.
Yes.
Which would make sense if it goes through history.
This is true. This week's lake monster is actually sort of local to us. Stretching over 400 miles, winding through mountains, forests, forgotten towns, and old industrial ruins, the Susquehanna River has seen centuries of tragedy, mystery, and folklore. Floods that erased entire communities, disappearances never solved, battles, shipwrecks, even murders. And somewhere among all those stories is something else. A creature. A thing witnesses have described for generations. Sometimes it's called the Susquehanna Seal. Sometimes it's called the Kettle Creek Monster. Descriptions vary widely. Some claim it resembles a gigantic seal with dark, glossy skin and enormous eyes. Others describe something serpent-like, long and sleek beneath the water. Some witnesses insist it breathes like a mammal. Others say it moves like no animal they've ever seen before. But no matter the version, the creature always appears in the same kind of places. Fog-covered water, remote riverbanks, quiet stretches of current where the forest blocks out the world, and almost always at night. Tonight, we're diving deep into the history, sightings, folklore, and eerie persistence of one of Pennsylvania's strangest cryptid legends. Because maybe, just maybe, something still lives beneath the Susquehanna.
So I am going to have to tell my brother-in-law about this because he is always out fishing, and I have no idea how he doesn't have any wild stories.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know if he does. He hasn't told any. He knows I do the podcast. He hasn't said anything to me.
We'll ask him.
But him and I will go back and forth if we're like hiking on a trail or something, mm-hmm. and we'll Snapchat each other and we'll just make like a random like call, and we'll be like, oh, Yeti. And we'll like send it back and forth to each other. But I'm surprised. And he's a big fisherman, like big fisherman. So I'm going to have to tell him. Him and his dad are going to look out for the Susquehanna Seal.
Go look out.
I didn't even know this was in Pennsylvania, too, by the way. We were talking and Em was like, yeah, Susquehanna. And I don't know why. I was thinking some like Arizona or something.
Surely
I don't
not.
Even know. I don't even know why I was thinking country. Here it is right in our...
Wasn't one of our arenas literally used to be called the
Susquehanna Bank Center?
Yeah.
Where was that?
Correlation? I think it was the Man. No, not the Man. Mm-mm. What's the one in Camden now?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it that one?
I think it was that one.
Or was it Wells Fargo?
No.
There's been so many. No, that was Wachovia Center.
Yeah, it was Wachovia. It was FU, the First Union Center.
Yes.
Also known as the FU Center. And then it was Wachovia.
Yeah.
And it was...
The Farg. Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Wells Fargo. Oh. Now it's Xfinity Live.
Xfinity Mobile Arena. Give me a break.
Well, it's not going to be Xfinity Mobile for long. They're going to tear that down by 2031.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
RIP. Side note, did I tell you I was getting vet seats?
Yes, you did. Did you get them?
No. I had to make the trek out there and we're still recording at nighttime. So last week it was 3 coffees. Today is 3.5. I never got to finish the other one. So I'm running on like low battery and I'm plugged into a charger that's trickle charging. So cut me some slack here. All right. I think I'm ready to talk about this river. So before we talk about the creature itself, we are going to talk about the river. Because the Susquehanna isn't just a body of water. It is ancient. In fact, geologists believe portions of the river system may be older than the Appalachian Mountains themselves, which is a whole nother thing. We made it just a month on the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, we covered the Bellwitch, but the Appalachians themselves. I'm sidetracking a lot. That means the river existed before entire mountain ranges were fully formed. And when you stand beside it at night, honestly, you can feel that age. The Susquehanna cuts through Pennsylvania like a scar. It begins in New York, snakes through Royal Valleys and coal country, then empties into the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. For thousands of years, indigenous people lived beside it, relied on it, and feared parts of it. The Susquehannock people, whose name became attached to the river, viewed waterways as living things. Many indigenous traditions throughout the region spoke of spirits inhabiting forests, mountains, and rivers. Now, it's important to be respectful here. There's no direct documented indigenous legend specifically describing the Susquehanna seal, exactly as modern stories tell it. But oral traditions throughout the Northeast absolutely include stories of dangerous water beings and mysterious creatures inhabiting rivers and lakes. The idea existed long before European settlers arrived, and that matters because when settlers eventually came into Pennsylvania's wilderness, they brought their own fears with them. And over time, those fears blended together, and by the late 1700s and early 1800s, the Susquehanna had become a major transportation route. Lumber rafts floated downstream constantly, coal barges crowded portions of the river, fishing communities formed alongside isolated banks, and people spent long nights on the water. And eventually, the story started spreading. Stories about something moving beneath the surface.
Most early sightings were never officially reported, and that's one reason the legend feels so slippery historically. These weren't scientific investigations. They were stories exchanged quietly between fishermen, lodgers, hunters, and boatmen. Someone would claim they saw something large near the riverbank. Another person would swear they heard strange breathing near their boat after sunset. Others described massive shapes rolling beneath the surface. At first, people dismissed the stories. That's just what happens in isolated river towns. But over time, patterns emerged. One recurring location was Kettle Creek. Kettle Creek is a tributary connected to the west branch of the Susquehanna River in north-central Pennsylvania. And if you've ever seen that region, you understand immediately why legends thrive there. Dense forests, steep mountains, heavy fog, huge stretches of isolated wilderness where you can stand beside the water and hear absolutely nothing. Even during daylight, parts of the area feel eerie. At night, it becomes something else entirely. Locals began whispering about a creature lurking where Kettle Creek met the river. And eventually, the nickname stuck, the Kettle Creek Monster. One fisherman reportedly described seeing a dark rounded head emerge from the water before quickly disappearing beneath the current. Another claimed something large followed his boat silently for several minutes. One of the creepiest details repeated in old stories is how quiet the creature supposedly was. No dramatic splashing, no roaring, no obvious attacks, just silent moving, watching. And honestly, that's worse, because predators don't usually announce themselves.
No, they don't. They're pretty good at staying hidden.
Yeah.
So here is where the story gets strange. Witnesses eventually started describing the creature as seal-like, which kind of sounds ridiculous at first. Pennsylvania's nowhere near the ocean that I know of. I mean, I've lived here for a long time.
Yeah, I've been here a while. I
don't think we're near an ocean. So how could a seal end up in the Susquehanna? Well, I mean, I could honestly see how it could end up in the Susquehanna. I'm answering my own question.
Not for nothing, didn't we have, like, I forget what kind of animal it was, but didn't, like, some kind of animal end up
in the Delaware?
Yeah, in Philly.
A whale.
Was it a whale?
Yeah, but I don't think it was that far up.
Yeah, it was something like that, though. I was like, what the heck? What
do you mean? I'm pretty sure it was a whale.
Yeah, it was something like that.
I'm almost positive it was. So, I mean, the other thing is it attaches to the, man in Maryland. Why can't I think of its, we just talked about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it attaches to the Chesapeake, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This is where we'd have to phone my brother-in-law.
Research.
Because he would know if, like, seals would be down there. I don't see how they couldn't. But, yeah. So it is, like we were saying, it's technically possible because real seals have occasionally traveled into freshwater river systems in North America. It's rare, but it is documented. Harbor seals, in particular, sometimes wander surprisingly far inland. So, skeptics argue the entire legend may have been started because someone genuinely saw a real seal where they weren't expecting one. And that explanation works for some sightings, but not for all of them. Because many witnesses describe creatures much larger than ordinary seals. Well, if he's the only seal in the area,
he's probably eating the entire.
Yeah, he's like top food chain.
Yeah, he is the ecosystem.
Because there's estimates that this guy is like 10 feet or girl, 10 feet or more.
Guy or girl.
I mean, it's not stated. You're not going to know. I don't know.
You're funny.
I didn't think about it until just then when I said, I kept saying, God, whatever. Others describe long serpentine bodies, and sightings continued for generations. One seal lost couldn't explain all of that. Still, the nickname, the Susquehanna Seal, stuck because it captured the strange impossibility of the creature. A seal in Pennsylvania. It sounds wrong immediately, and that wrongness made the story memorable. By the 1800s, newspapers across America had become obsessed with monster stories. You got sea serpents, wild men, lake creatures, anything unexplained sold papers. And with Pennsylvania, there was no exception. Articles occasionally surfaced mentioning mysterious creatures seen in rivers throughout the state. What makes the Susquehanna stories interesting, though, is how restrained many of them were. These weren't always sensational front-page stories. They often appear as small, local oddities. A strange sighting, an unusual animal, something glimpsed briefly, and then it's gone. That actually made the legend feel more believable to some people. Because if witnesses wanted fame, why would you just stay quiet? And many did stay quiet. Some stories weren't written down until decades later. Families passed them through generations. Fishermen told them to younger fishermen. Hunters swapped stories in cabins during the winter. And over time, the creature became part of local identity. That's how folklore survives. Not through proof, through repetition. I feel like if you live in towns like that, like, mm-hmm. we're in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. Our streets are lit. Like, for us to find woods, you know, we have Hines, which is, like, right there.
Right.
But, like, you're not, it's not like it's your town is in this little area and you're just surrounded by woods. We're, like, the opposite. Like, our city or our town surround woods.
Yeah.
It's like we're talking a little bit of like woodland versus these people are
whole lot of woodland.
Yeah, so I can only imagine the things that they could see. Seriously. Or anything like that. Like nothing, none of this stuff where people are like the indigenous people, mm-hmm. or people who are from like the small towns and like the country area, like none of that shocks me when they're like, oh, like we see this stuff.
Yeah
because you're out there. You know? It's a badge of honor, I think.
Yeah. Naturally, people began trying to explain it. And there are several theories. Theory one is a giant sturgeon. This is probably the most common explanation. Atlantic sturgeon once lived throughout the Susquehanna watershed. And these fish are enormous. Some can exceed 10 feet long and weigh hundreds of pounds. They also look prehistoric. Seriously, if you saw one unexpectedly at night, you'd probably think you discovered a dinosaur.
Yeah, go back to River Monsters.
Yes.
Jeremy Wade. Watch any episode. Oh, I don't want to say any episode. He definitely, a lot of episodes, he catches sturgeon.
They have armored bodies, strange ridges, and unsettling movements beneath the surface. But witnesses argued the creature didn't behave like a fish. Many described mammal-like eyes, smooth skin, breathing sounds, and movement unlike anything aquatic they recognized. Theory two was giant eels. This theory became popular among cryptid researchers. Eels can appear incredibly snake-like underwater. In murky conditions, size estimates become distorted. A large eel in rough water could potentially look monstrous. But again, the descriptions don't always match, especially citing involving rounded heads or visible breathing.
Can I just say that looking at our dock that we're like reading out of, eels with a capital E look so weird.
It does look weird. I was thinking the same thing.
So weird. I'm like looking at it and I'm like, is that spelled wrong?
It's so funny that you say that. I was actually thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I was just sitting here, I'm looking, I'm like, that's got to be spelled. Like, it looks just wrong.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's not usually the beginning of a sentence.
No, yeah.
Theory three is misidentification. This is the simplest answer. Dark water creates optical illusions constantly. Logs drift strangely, waves distort shapes, fog changes, depth perception. Fear amplifies everything. And humans are notoriously bad at estimating size in water. This explanation honestly accounts for many sightings, but believers point out something interesting. The descriptions remained oddly consistent across generations. Dark body, large size, smooth movement, silent behavior. That consistency keeps the mystery alive.
One reason the legend persists is because the Susquehanna feels mysterious already, especially at night. There are stretches where the river widens so dramatically it almost resembles a lake. Mist settles low over the surface, the moonlight reflects strangely off moving current, and beneath the water, the visibility becomes almost zero. That matters psychologically. Humans are naturally uncomfortable around dark water because we can't see beneath it. Our brains fill in the unknown automatically. That's why almost every culture on Earth develops stories about water monsters. the sea serpents, the river demons, lake creatures. The unknown beneath the surface becomes a perfect canvas for fear. And ancient rivers amplify that fear because they feel alive. The Susquehanna especially has a reputation for unpredictability. Floods along the river have killed thousands throughout history. Entire towns have been devastated. Some locals even connected sightings of the creature to incoming storms or floods. According to certain stories, appearances of the Susquehanna seal act almost like omens. See the creature, and bad weather follows. Whether it's coincidence or folklore embellishment, the idea spread quickly. And once again, legends attach themselves to natural disasters. They become much harder to kill.
Kettle Creek deserves its own section because the atmosphere there plays such a huge role in the legend. This area sits deep within Pennsylvania wilderness. Even today, portions feel isolated. Dense woods crowd the shoreline. Fog hangs over the water early in the morning and late at night. Animal sounds echo strangely through the valley. And there are long stretches where you won't see another person for hours. That isolation changes how people experience fear. If you hear something strange in a city, your brain searches for normal explanations immediately. Cars, people, machinery. But deep in the woods, besides just black water, your imagination has room to grow. And that's exactly where monster stories thrive. One old local tale describes a hunter camping near Kettle Creek who woke up hearing heavy breathing outside his tent. At first, he assumed it was a deer. Then he heard water moving, slowly and deliberate. He reportedly stepped outside with a lantern and saw ripples spreading across the river beside camp. No animal visible, just movement, and then silence. Another story involves fishermen hearing loud splashes circling their boat during thick fog. Every time they turned toward the sound, nothing. Until one of them allegedly saw a large, dark shape rise briefly beside the boat before vanishing beneath the water. Again, no proof, just stories. But stories told often enough to become part of the landscape itself.
And what's fascinating is that the legend never disappears. Even today, people still report strange encounters along the Susquehanna. Modern sightings usually involve kayakers, fishermen, or campers. One story described a group kayaking. That was the third time I did this.
Third take, by the way.
The third one. This group kayaking, they noticed something large pacing them beneath the surface. At first, they assumed it was a submerged log until it changed direction. The witnesses estimated the creature was at least 10 feet long. Another account involved fishermen spotting what looked like a slick, dark head surfacing briefly before disappearing with a violent splash. And social media only amplified the legend. I'm sure AI has helped.
I'm sure.
Even a blurry photo of the river ripples sparks debate. Every unexplained shape becomes potential evidence. Of course, most images prove nothing, but that's the nature of cryptid legends. Definitive proof almost ruins the mystery. The uncertainty is what keeps people interested.
So, why does this story survive? Why do people keep returning to the Susquehanna Seal? Part of it is simple fun. Monster stories are entertaining, especially regional legends. Bigfoot exists everywhere. But the Susquehanna Seal belongs specifically to Pennsylvania. It feels personal to locals. It connects people to place. Parents tell the story to kids. Friends bring it up around campfires. Fishermen joke nervously about it at night. The creature becomes part of local culture regardless of whether people truly believe it. There's another reason, too. People want mystery. We live in a world mapped by satellites. Almost everything feels explained, documented, measured. Yet legends like this remind us there are still corners of nature capable of making us uncomfortable. And rivers are perfect for that. They hide things easily. They erase evidence. They carry secrets away downstream forever. Over time, the legend definitely evolved. Early stories focused mostly on an unknown animal. Later versions became more supernatural. Some modern retellings describe glowing eyes. Others claim the creature appears and disappears impossibly fast. A few paranormal investigators even connected the legend to hauntings along the river. That transformation is common in folklore.
We should do a haunted rivers episode.
Yeah. I'm sure we could.
I'm sure that'd be wild.
Yeah.
So it'd probably be like a river lake.
Bookmark it.
Yeah, I'll write it down on the board.
Legends absorb the fears of each generation. In the 1800s, people feared wilderness and unknown animals. In the 20th century, paranormal fascination exploded. Now, internet culture blends everything together. Cryptids, ghosts, conspiracies. The Susquehanna Seal adapted with the times, and yet, somehow, the core image remains unchanged. Dark water, a silent shape, watching from below.
There's one detail that appears in countless sightings. Witnesses often describe feeling watched before they see anything. That sensation comes up constantly in cryptid stories. An overwhelming awareness that something nearby already knows you're there. Psychologists would likely explain this as heightened fear response. Humans become hyper alert in isolated environments, but believers interpret it differently. They argue predators create that feeling instinctively. And honestly, whether supernatural or psychological, the feeling itself is real. Anyone who stood beside dark water alone at night probably understands it. That instinctive unease, that sense that something could surface at any moment and just snatch you.
So, what was the Susquehanna Seal? A wandering seal? A giant sturgeon? An eel distorted by darkness and fear? A collection of exaggerated stories built over generations? Maybe. Honestly, probably. But maybe not entirely. Because nature still surprises us constantly. New species are discovered every year. Gigantic animals hide in environments humans barely explore. And rivers remain among the least understood ecosystems in many ways. Especially ancient rivers. Especially dark rivers. Ultimately, though, the truth almost doesn't matter anymore. Because the creature achieved something far more powerful than biological proof. It became immortal through folklore. The Susquehanna Seal survives because people keep imagining it beneath the water. And maybe legends exist exactly for that reason. To remind us the world still contains uncertainty. Still contains darkness. Still contains places where imagination takes over. And somewhere, tonight, along a quiet stretch of the Susquehanna River, someone is probably staring into black water, wondering what might be staring back.
Thank you all for listening to the Ominous Archives. New listeners, old listeners, you know, again, we do this stuff for you guys. We enjoy it,
yes.
But we like to get it out there for anyone who would like to hear. If you enjoyed tonight's episode on the Susquehanna Seal or the Kettle Creek Monster, make sure to follow us on our social medias and leave us a review, a like, a rate, anything. Email us at theominousarchives.com. We look forward to getting emails from you guys. Also, go check out our other team member, Sam, over at Scare Me Sam. She's always doing so much for us, always going above and beyond, and she even goes above and beyond on her book reviews that she does on her podcast. Other than that, if you've had your own experience at the Susquehanna, I already said it earlier, email us if you just wanted to reach out. Tell us your stories.
We want
to
hear them.
We would love to hear them. And if we get enough of them, we'll follow along with all the other podcasts and do a listeners episode.
Yes.
So, until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.